Hallelujah. We are going to get started because we are here on time. Good for you. We expect Pastor Bill to be here today. Hallelujah. He's doing well, better. He's doing better. Wholeness to him. Here. We have graduates being prayed over today. That's a wonderful thing, important thing. How do we launch in our life, in our spiritual life? Just imagine what it would have been like, the disciples, you know, about ready to be launched into their new career and what that feels like, you know. And it's just, you kind of feel like, are you really alone? No, we're not really alone, you know, and that's the important thing. So, Father, we thank you for your loving kindness. We come to attend to your word today. Father, we know we're at the right place. We know we're in the right time. We know we're with the right people. Father, our confidence is in you. You cause growth to happen on the inside of us. You stir up. You've given your great Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us. You are the one, Father God, that has caused a stirring in our spirit, O Lord. Father, we thank you for enlightenment, pulling back curtains, opening doors, allowing light to come into us and shine upon us, O Lord God. So we thank you for that, that you will reveal. You are the revelator, Father God. You will reveal to us your word. We thank you for it. It'll contribute to our growth. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, our text, if you want to jump back, and we're going to come back to Acts 8. We'll be back to Acts 8 in a minute, but Romans 1, and Romans 1, chapter 16, and verse 1. Curiosity had come up in my spirit, wondering about this, because, you know, at times, you see things happening in church, just one of the many subjects in church, where there's giving of money. And this is about that, and this is a letter of correction. I don't want to ignore that this is in here. I want to say, be open about it. The Word of God does talk about money, and in many, many dimensions, money, how to be frugal with your money, how to be liberal with your money. We're going to see that in 2 Corinthians. A spirit of liberality and liberty comes upon you, and gracious giving. You know, those kinds of things, the Word talks about that in regards to money. Certainly not something I focus my life on too much, or like doctrine. Like, there's people that have a real ministry to that, a real ministry that to guide and wisdom in finances, and I love that. And there is impartations of grace on people, and it's like every stone they turn over, they make a fortune. It's amazing the grace of the diversity of the grace of God on people's lives to be really good businessmen, you know. And so it's just one aspect of the Spirit of God on people to do that and to be that. So in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he addresses this idea of money. And I had hinted in this in the past, especially when going through the book of Acts, primarily 13, when Paul really begins his ministry. He had been already ministering 4 years in various places. First, you know, when he was on the road to Damascus, you will remember, don't think we'll cover that too much today yet, but the Lord came against him. When God's against you, that's not a good thing. Things will go south in your life when God's against you. And he fell on the ground, and you know the conversion story, this wonderful story about Paul, converted to Christianity, converted to becoming a believer, had a visitation of Jesus Christ, had impartation from Jesus Christ. Everything that he knew and studied for in his life, all of a sudden, it was like a big pile of wood. He had this big pile of wood inside his brain. And that big pile of wood was the Old Testament, under what we call the Old Testament, understanding the prophets, understanding the law, the Pentateuch, understanding, you know, the Levitical priesthood, understanding all these things. He had this big pile of wood, but there was no fire. It wasn't until the Holy Ghost came upon him and it lit it. And he just exploded on the inside with clarity, clarity in his life. And this is what happens to all of us. There's a certain clarity that comes upon us, and we understand who we are in Christ, and we begin to wake up. So here he is in the book of Acts. Now, concerning the collections for the saints, as I directed in the churches of Galatia, this is not so you do. Whatever Galatia does, it's what I tell all the churches to do. And so he gives this instruction. Well, my curiosity, of course, 1 Corinthians 16, my curiosity, of course, is what was this collection for the saints? So I began to talk about that last week. So let's jump back over to the book of Acts. Collection for the saints, chapter 8. And we know Paul was converted. We're waiting on technology here to happen, folks. The Lord was sharing with me, Brother Dale, just let me just go on a rabbit trail. A brother preached over at the Armada conference, right? And he preached from an iPad or a device, like I'm preaching from a device today. Preached from a device, right? And Dale told him, he's a successful preacher. I mean, he was that young man that Brother Dave Landis appointed to the Harrisburg church, right? Amazing anointing on his life. Did you get to hear it? Oh, yeah, just amazing. For anybody that would have heard him, and so Brother Dale took him aside and said, "Brother, you have to have a real Bible, because that might not, you know, it might not, it might fail you, you know." And so we find out here we're up and running now. So here we are in verse 1, chapter 8. Saul was in hearty agreement. This was before Paul was converted, right? And you know these scriptures. You know what happened. You know history. You've been here a long time, right? Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. Stephen, this is the death of Stephen. On that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So I'm bringing out this, I'm saying to you, here's a clue. Why is it in Judea and Samaria that the churches are struggling so that collections are being made by the Apostle Paul when he travels? This is just one hint. One hint is here. It develops a picture. It develops a story. And you begin to see what Paul is dealing with as a man of God. So as we scan down through, we see everything that's happening there in the chapter. In that chapter, Philip is going. You see all these amazing events that are happening in Philip's life, and the Spirit of God is still moving. God is still with them. We have troubles on the outside. We have curiosities on the inside. These people are just like you. They have a life. It's not like your life. Not as comfortable as what we have it. They have it more difficult, and it's more of a challenge in their life. So chapter 9, Paul gets dealt with by the Spirit of God. Saul, we see that whole story play out. Okay, as we go down, he begins to preach Christ in Damascus. Hands are laid on him by Ananias. We just like review, just like what's happening in Paul's life. Well, everything that's going on inside of his spirit is beginning to come alive because the Holy Spirit has come upon him. But really, truthfully, ask yourself this. Is Paul a baby Christian? Right? He is, right? So a baby Christian needs to grow. Now, some babies grow faster than other babies. Because of everything on the inside of him, he was able to see things very clearly. But what was his message when he went out? Very simple baby Christian message. Christ crucified. Raised from the dead. That's the baby Christian message. We see the great depth of him as he grows, gets older. We see and wiser and becomes a wise master builder, as the scripture tells us. So he's going through here. Then it switches gears. He ends up, where does he end up? Does anybody remember? So much trouble happens to his life in Damascus. He gets let down in a basket. It's like they find out that they're going to kill him. So now he winds up in Jerusalem. And really, to be honest with you, I've never read this in a book, by the way. Never read this in a book. Paul ends up in Jerusalem four times. We can count them in the book of Acts. But see, that's not my message. But I just want to let you know, if you ever wondered, Paul didn't spend any time in Jerusalem. He didn't really spend time there. But he did go to Jerusalem four different times, as it's listed in the book of Acts, the various times that he went there. So after Damascus, Barnabas gets a hold of him, drags him to Jerusalem. That's the first time he's there. And again, I'm not making a big deal about that. It's just that I've never heard that preached before. And it explains certain things about his life and where he is and what he's doing. It explains a timeline of where he's at. So here he is. They took him to Jerusalem. He hung out there for a while. And of course, like a zealot usually does, stirs up a lot of trouble. This is what a zealot will do. You're zealous about a certain thing, so that's what's consuming you, and that's what you talk about. Some people are interested and some people are not, but you cause a lot of trouble. So they scat him out of there. Barnabas takes him back to Tarsus. That's where he's hanging for a while. So moving forward, jump back into Peter's ministry. What's happening in the churches that Paul's making collections? I'm focused on this now. It's not me just babbling about this history. There's things that are changing people's lives. The gospel is going forth. Even though there's great persecution on the church from the leaders, the church, not the church leaders, but the Jewish leaders and the legal people that are part of the Sanhedrin, causing a lot of problems for the church. So here goes Peter. The story now transfers to him. All through chapter 10, this happens. So he begins to explain himself. Peter has this vision, and it's fantastical vision, and God is leading, God is leading, God is leading, God is leading. Holy Spirit is leading, waking up Peter to the idea that the Gentiles can be saved. This is the history, and this is what we're going through. All the while, there's a persecution going on because of Stephen. So we see all these things. Peter gets called onto the carpet for the preaching to the Gentiles. He gets in trouble with his own people. It's not enough that they're having trouble with the Jewish leaders, and now the church is saying, wait a minute, Peter, what did you just do? He's like, I didn't do anything. I just followed the angel of the Lord, and he led me to this place. And as I was telling them about Jesus, just like it was. You remember what it was like when we were in the upper room and the Holy Spirit came down and we began to speak and it was closed. You remember that? That's what happened again. It happened again on these Gentiles. Who was I? Who was I to argue about that? So this is what happened to him. So as we move on in time, we get down here to the end. Let me go to 19. So there arose, here's the second reason. Why were they taking up collections? Why is this idea brought to us in Corinth to encourage the church to be a part of the work of the ministry? Because this is what's happening in the church. Our idea of looking at 1 Corinthians to see it as a letter of correction, to set us on track, to set the church. This should be normal in the church. There should be a bigger view in a church, vision in the church to spread the gospel and be a help to the community. This is what he's bringing correction to them about. So then they arose who was scattered because of the persecution according to the connection with Stephen. Verse 19, chapter 11. Made their way to Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, spreading the word. This is what they were doing. The persecution because of Stephen is still going on. Still going on in these people, pushing the gospel in different places because fingers are being pointed at. businesses are closing. We're not shopping there because they believe in Christ. We're not shopping there because they're followers of the way. So they're having all this backlash. So here's what happens. An outbreak of the Spirit of God. Don't you love that? I've seen it so many times over the years. There's an outbreak of the Spirit of God here, and an outbreak of the Spirit of God here, and everybody runs to the outbreak. What are you looking for? Okay, you know, I'm not against that. Like, if you want to go and visit and say, oh, because you're curious, and you love Jesus, and you're like, I want to see the move of the Spirit of God. Yeah, go and see the move of the Spirit of God. As a matter of fact, if the Lord touches you while you were there, bring it back. Bring it back and touch me. Start a fire. This is, right? There's an outbreak in this place called Antioch. We have missionary association. Do you remember his name, brother? In Turkey? Not Mills. Larry Mills? Is he the one? He lives here. His coffee house in this place, in Antioch. And back behind the other doors, the curtains, there were church back there. They're preaching the gospel there. That's right. But getting the word out. There's a persecution still over there in Antioch. Fire of God was coming down on these people. Gentiles were getting saved. Jews were getting saved. People were getting saved. The spirit of liberty was coming upon these people. Now, we gave a reason. Reason was that the Jewish leadership was persecuting the church. Causes you a lot of problems. Here's another problem coming. Persecution of Stephen was connected to that. And so verse 25, he left for Tarsus. This is Barnabas. They send Barnabas. Barnabas, go look, see what's going on up there. Come and tell us. You see, they sent someone there, and they came back. And they said, well, what's happening? Really? Spirit of God is moving like that? Wow, we need to send teachers up there. We need to send men of God up there that are going to stir the people and keep them on the right path. So what did Barnabas do? He remembered where he took Paul to Tarsus. So here he goes. He left for Tarsus and looked for Saul. And it was all fun to think about, how do you think he would find a man like Saul? How would you find Saul? And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year, they met the church coming up. Second reason. Considerable numbers of disciples who were called Christians in Antioch. Now, at this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One named Agabus, we're going to see him later in Scripture in the book of Acts, stood up, began to indicate by the Spirit of God that there would certainly be great famine over the world. And this took place in the reign of Claudius. Now, a seemingly unnoticeable thing is happening right here. So some people see it, some people don't, and I'm fine with that. So the second reason why there's going to be more struggles in the church is a great famine was going to arise during the reign of Claudius. Who is he? Well, that's what I'm curious about when I read. It's not just a documentation. Well, here's what we know from history. Not that he was a good guy or anything. Claudius reigned, and this is not the only time we see his name in the book of Acts. Claudius came to power in 41 AD. And he ruled until 54 AD. So there's that window. Until his wife got tired of him and poisoned him and he died. This is what happens in the ancient world. Well, I don't like him anymore. I'm just going to poison him. Common. Anyway, so we have this window, 41. And as we go farther, we see Claudius' name pop up again. So we have a mark. So 41 AD, how far is that after the resurrection? 10 years? 9 years? 11 years? So now we know where we are in history, where Paul's at. It took 10 years before he woke up and saw the Spirit of God. This is where he's at. Well, you'll find that Claudius, at some point in his life, makes a decree to kick all the Jewish people out of Rome. Well, we know from history that that took place sometime between 49 AD, 8 or 9 years later, 7 or 8 years later, to 53 AD. Somewhere between there, they're not exactly sure. He made this decree. We find this later in Acts, because if you remember Paul's friends, Priscilla and Aquila, why were they on the run? Claudius made a decree and kicked them out of Rome, so they were on the road, and we find them all converging in the same place. Sets up timeline: religious persecution from the religious leaders, a famine in the land, and now for the next one, as we move forward, jumping back into Peter's life again, he's arrested, James is killed. See, this persecution is coming strong in Judea. Why are they taking up collections? That's my point. Why are they taking up collections? Why was Paul's heart favorable to do these things? I didn't finish this part of the story, but let's just take a half a step back here. Verse 28 of chapter 11. One of them, Agabus, stood up. We read that part, Claudius. And in any proportion that any disciples had means, this would have happened after 41 AD. Whoever had means, each would determine to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren in Judea. So this was already a thing, taking up collections for the people that are suffering in Judea, Jerusalem. This was already something that was a real thing. They needed Christ in their life, but they needed food on their table as well. So these were taking up very practical reasons why the Apostle Paul was taking collections for the poor saints. And so what happened to that? This is the thing. Here's the dot that we're connecting. And this they did, sending it in charge of Barnabas and Saul to Jerusalem. Well, he was in Jerusalem once, and now he's going to go again because they decided to take up money in Antioch, make a collection, and take it to Jerusalem. So Paul's on the road again to Jerusalem, but it's kind of in the background, and you don't really jump off the page that you see it. But you see Paul saying, well, I met the apostles, and then you hear him when I went to Jerusalem, and then you hear him say, well, when I went there, I only met James. And then you see it again. So you see four occasions in the book of Acts when he went to Jerusalem. This was another one. So here we jump to chapter 12. Now I'm just creating understanding and perspective is all. Peter's arrested. James is killed. Herod's on the roll. Herod is not Claudius. Herod is Herod. He's the local king. He kills James, John's brother. James, the one that walked with Christ, runs him through with the sword and kills him. So a key figure in Jerusalem is now dead. This is who this is. So fantastic story about Peter going to prison and an angel visiting him. And in regards to something here that we just recently had gone through, prayers were being made for Peter, who was in prison. Peter's in prison. What do we do? He's in prison. The church, his friends, the people who were standing in spirit with him were praying. And even though this isn't my message, sometimes these are current things that happen in our lives that we can see in the Word of God happen before, and they'll happen again. So the people that were praying for Peter were sensitive enough in spirit to lift up a message of deliverance for the servant Peter. An angel of the Lord appeared and took him out of there. Miraculous ways. So at the end of this chapter, Herod highly exalts his ministry over the people in his pride and his arrogance and his ignorance. And the angel of the Lord strikes him. And that was the end for him. And in verse 24, it says, but the word of the Lord continued to grow and be multiplied. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem after bringing that wonderful offering. They had fulfilled their mission, taking along with them John, who was also called Mark. So now we see these three characters together in Scripture. So we move forward in Scripture. Why was Paul taking collections? Why were the people poor where he was? And we're going to jump back over there. So chapter 13 starts the ministry of the Apostle Paul. We already talked about that in weeks or months ago, where the Spirit of the Lord comes down and it says, set apart for me. Set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work in the ministry for what I've called them to. You see this fantastic calling by the Holy Spirit to launch them out. Did Paul write any books yet? No. Did Paul have any churches that he was in charge of yet? No. So where are we in a timeline? Sometime in the late 40s, mid-40s of 10, 15 years after Christ's ascension. This is where we are in a timeline. Back to Acts. Let's continue on in 1 Corinthians 16. Why were the people struggling? There was persecution from the Jews. There was political persecution. And there was a famine in the land. All these things that these people had to deal with in their life. And we look at our modern day and we say, I'm a Christian. You know, I'm married or I'm not married. I have children and I don't have children. You have burden and load in your life. And all your spirit, you're connected with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your ever-present help in time of need. He's the answer for you at all times. He's your strength in which you stand. Just like these people, you have to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit working on the inside of you. You have to rely on that, just like these people did. We're going to have wars. We're going to have rumors of wars. We're going to have famine. We're going to have tragedies that come in. Is anyone home? They just come visit you. You go out to drive away in your car. You start it up. All the dash lights up and it shuts down and smoke comes out the back. What are you going to do? What are we going to do? You know, one of your servants breaks down. Why are you laughing? Anyway, one of your servants breaks down. Your washer don't work. The dishwasher don't work. But what are we going to do? Real life testimony. Don't want to linger in this, but we were here at the church yesterday. We had things going on in here in the church yesterday. So I came in this morning like I always do, get things started up. I turned it on. Nothing worked. We had no sound system. So rather than Brother Randy going in, kicking things off the stage and saying, you moron, you don't work, you know, having a fit of the flesh, because this is what happens. You're tested. Your spirit is tested when things don't go your way. How do we grow in spirit? Is we instantly connect with a spirit of peace. I'm still trying to catch on to this, to be honest with you. Still, you know, that guy pulls out in front of you, you know. And when I used to ride with Sister Marcy down in Columbia, she would speak a blessing over him. And this is what we have to do, speak a blessing over. We have to speak blessing. Let sweet water come from our mouth and not bitter. James challenges that idea. Sweet water needs to come from us. So here he is, the first day of the week. This is the instruction. Every one of you, every one of you, there's no exemptions in a generous heart. A spirit in the church of generosity. The spirit of generosity in a church, it's going to touch every heart. On the first day of the week, each one of you put aside and save that he might prosper, so that no collections are made by him, that the Lord God will put things in order in the church. Mostly we look at it in today's curriculum of church. Pastoral ministry sets things in order of how things are done. We take up collections differently than many other churches, but it's by inspiration, divine order, that has come through Pastor Bill. I remember when this was invoked, this idea had purpose and very deliberate, because you know worship is a ministry. It's a ministry of worship. To give is part of the ministry of worship. So rather than interrupting a service, which was not in Pastor Bill's heart, finding a way not to interrupt the service and the flow of the Spirit, and just for us in our church, and Pastor Bill could say much more about this, it was in his heart to say, well, let's put bowls up front, and as you're inspired, you know, you come up as your ministry of worship to give unto the Lord. Commit it to the Lord. What he's given you, these collections. Now, let me include, even though the Apostle Paul isn't including this, there's tithe. That's not what this teaching is. This is instruction to the church. We talk about tithes, offerings, alms, givings, very many types of things that are relative to money. Paul's bringing up the subject of money here. Collections for a purpose. And there could be some certain things regarding purpose. Let's move on. I'm not sure we can finish this, but we'll move on in here. But I will come to you after I go through Macedonia. There's going to be another key time marker given to us here. For I'm going to Macedonia, through Macedonia, if perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter, so that you may send me on my way wherever I may go. That gives me a clue that Paul is not always sure from moment to moment where he goes. He didn't plan this as a vacation. He's already, by this time in his life, knows that he's being led by the Spirit. And sometimes it's a visitation from an angel. Sometimes it's vision. Sometimes he makes a plan and he lays it before the Lord, and the Lord releases him to go. That we can look at a time in the Apostle Paul's ministry when he told him, don't go to Asia. A hindrance is put before you. Thank God that he puts a hindrance. He's put hindrances in my life before. I can definitely tell you that. No, you're not going this direction. I thank God for that. That felt a lot better than a paddle. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Just to put a hindrance before you is God being kind and merciful to you. We can go back to Balaam's life and look at that if you want to. You know, it's just, does God put hindrances? Does he lift a hedge to keep you from hurting yourself? Here we go. For I do not wish to see you in passing. I hope to remain with you for some time, if the Lord permits. You see his sensitivity of spirit in his daily movements in what he's doing. His maturity of life by this time, far greater than when he fell off that horse. As we move on. But I will remain, here's your marker, don't miss this, I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door in effectual service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Let's go to Acts 19. This is an interesting thing. Acts 19. This is where Paul is writing from to these people. It happened, Acts 19, while Apollos was at Corinth. When we open the book of Corinth, how is it that some of you say, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ? Who are we? Just servants who brought you the word. That's who we are. Well, here's his mention. Here's where he meets. Now, I'm not saying face-to-face at this point. That's not being clear in Scripture that he's being face-to-face. It happened while Paulus was at Corinth. Paul passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus, found some disciples in Ephesus. So Paul is now, which missionary journey is this? Well, we have to back up a little bit, which I'm not going to do because that's not my point. My point is he's writing from Ephesus. He's writing to the church in Corinth. He's bringing correction to the church in Corinth for the many topics he's going to bring about, talk about. But here he is in Ephesus. Here's where some of the puzzle pieces begin to come together. And he says, he found some disciples. Did you receive the Holy Spirit since you believed? There was still disciples there that had not received. The church is growing so fast, but they need good teaching. That's why they went and got Paul in the first place and brought him to Antioch. They needed to hear the word of God. They needed to hear who Christ was. They needed to hear about the resurrection and what is that about. They need to hear that God's coming back again, or Jesus is coming back again. They need to hear that there is a Holy Spirit. They need to hear who the Son of David was. This is all about Christ. Paul said, John baptized with the spirit of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. When they heard this, they baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who you are baptized into. You've been baptized into Christ. He is your life. There's many secrets to be had by understanding that statement. You're no longer live for yourself anymore. You live for him. This is who you are. Not a message necessarily. When Paul had laid his hands on him, the Holy Ghost came on, and the men, they began to speak with tongues and prophesying. Paul is in Ephesus. There's a great door and effectual open for him while he's in Ephesus. This is what he's explaining to them. When he's writing his letter to Corinth, this is where he's at the time. More comes out. Evil speaking, verse 9, but when some who were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the people, he withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. This took place for 2 years. A wide door and effectual. See, sometimes we look at things in Scripture and we just say, well, he was there a day or two. No, he was there for 2 years in this region. And sometime during that 2 year period of time, he wrote a letter to Corinth. And so he took away the disciples who lived there in Asia. So all of Asia heard the word of the Lord before the Jews. So we see miracles at Ephesus. He's spending time there. He's teaching there. The church is birthed there. And verse 20, so the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing. A wide door. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he said to them, a wide door and effectual is open for them. So he had to stay there. The Spirit of the Lord was prompting him to stay at Ephesus. Don't go back to Corinth. Yes, they keep inviting you back, but you have a work. Now, after these things were finished, here's another key word. Paul purposed in his spirit to go to Jerusalem. See, he hasn't been there again yet. This would be his fourth trip to Jerusalem. He hasn't gone there yet. Not as far as the way we know and understand him being in Jerusalem was. Oh yeah, the Apostle Paul went to Jerusalem after being there that first time, and they saw him in the temple. You know, we know the story about that. And they arrested him and threw him in prison. See, we know that story. But these other things then don't make sense. But here he is. He purposed in his spirit. This is when it first came into his spirit to head to Jerusalem. And after he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, after I have been there, I must visit Rome. Is there a church in Rome yet? Don't say no, because we don't really know. Remember that the disciples scattered everywhere. There's churches being started everywhere. We don't really know it. But when we open the book of Romans, we see the Apostle Paul saying, I'm writing you. He's going to come to Rome that he might impart to them some spiritual gift. His apostolic ministry to the Gentiles, he's going to impart and bring enlightenment of the gospel to Rome. But this is the seed This is his idea. This is his purpose of heart in his travels of where he went. So here he is. He's planning on going to Jerusalem. He didn't go yet. He's planning on going to Rome. He didn't go yet. And having sent to Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. Enter Timothy into the scene. When we look at 1 Corinthians, we see Timothy is there. About the third occurrence, about this time there occurred no small disturbance concerning the way. More persecution, and a man named Demetrius, the silversmith. Paul writes to Timothy about this man. Demetrius is in Ephesus. He is one of the makers in Ephesus. He makes idols. He's a fabricator of metal and copper, and he makes idols. And when Paul brought a gospel of liberty and who the Lord Jesus was, idolatry was beginning to be put down and becoming uninteresting. What epitaph should we put on 2023 that Christianity is not interesting anymore to people? What does that mean? That there's a great pulling away? I think not. I think people are pressing into the Spirit of God. We have to look around us and see the Spirit of God move. Can you see when the Spirit of God is moving around you? We have to continue to leave an impact on the people around us by the power of the Holy Ghost working on the inside of you. We cannot give up. We cannot relent on the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God for salvation to all those that hear. Deliverance. People are just being so oppressed today. So much garbage is coming to them. But we have good news for them. So here's Paul in Ephesus. And I want to go back there. Back to 1 Corinthians 16. This is where he's moving to, writing his letter. Concerning our brother Apollos, I encouraged him greatly to come to you with the brethren, and it was not at all his desire to come, but when he will come when he has opportunity. Verse 13, be on the alert. This instruction is as good for us today. It was good for them in that day. And with everything going on around us, persecutions that are going around us, and we haven't seen the kind of persecutions here in America, and I want to say yet, because anything could change in our political spectrum. Anything could change. All things are going to be shaken. All things are going to be shaken. That is the way life is. It will all be shaken. And him who's standing on the solid rock shall not be shaken. You will not be shaken. Your life is in him. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. That's the admonition to us. It's still relevant today. This is the instruction, the correction I was giving. Really, let me continue. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Reflecting back on chapter 13 that he already wrote. Let all that you do be done in love. What is it that motivates us in our life? Why would we stand firm? Why would we press forward in Christian thought, in Christian attitude, in Christian works, and in Christian ways? We're people of good works. We have a good word to bring to this nation. We're people of the Spirit of God. This is who we are. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Now I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that they were the first fruits in Achaia. If we go back to 1 Corinthians 1, you'll see this name mentioned. This is a noble person, that they were the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That should be in your heart at all times. The ministry to the saints, in your giving, in your serving, ministry to the saints. We do have a word from Jesus, go into all the world. But including in that word, go into all the world, we're also to be benevolent to the saints, to be helpful to those who serve among us. This is Paul's instructions, that you also be in subjection to such men and to everyone who helps in the work and labors. Father, I thank you that we're co-laborers with you. You stir us up, O Lord God, to be a help and not a hindrance, O Lord God. So we thank you for opportunities to serve, to give this good word, this good news to a lost and dying world in Christ Jesus. We thank you for empowering us, for strengthening us for the work. We stand like men in our position, and we understand your word to us, and we're inspired today, Father, to do the work in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.